What's up, basketball world? It's Encore Onslaught back at you again. Me and Brett Roberts. What's up, Brett?
What's going on, fellas?
How's it going out in Florida?
It's solid. We had a nice day today. Fall weather in the, about here in summer almost, so can't have any complaints about that.
I understand. We actually had spring weather in spring out in Illinois. I was very happy.
Nice.
And really windy, really rainy, like really cold, about 25, 30 degrees all day. Not fun. Today was a nice change.
Oh, yeah. That's what they call it, the Windy City, I guess, though.
Right, I guess.
I guess it really had something to do with politicians blowing wind a long time ago, but I'd like to think it's because the city's windy.
Oh, our politicians are still blowing wind. You don't have to worry about that one.
Yeah.
Never changed.
Well, as much as I like Obama, he kind of falls in the same category as all the rest of them when it came to blowing wind. He came down here and told nothing but lies to our space coast and shut down the space program after saying he wasn't gonna, but all presidents do that, so I'm not gonna hate.
Yeah, you gotta love Obama just because he plays basketball.
That's a great reason. Plus, he's left-handed. That's another reason to like him.
Exactly.
He's like a shorter Tayshaun Prince.
Right. He's kind of got a game similar to him, too. I never thought of that.
It does. He's a lot like Tayshaun. Well, we're not going to talk about Tayshaun Prince this time because he has become quite irrelevant in the world of basketball. What are we going to talk about today, Dig?
Well, we have to talk about something that is real relevant. How about our boy, Meta World Peace, a.k.a. Ron Artest? Hit me with what is going on with him.
Man, he is... You know, the funny thing about it is when I rewatched that play, I was like, how did that turn into that? You know, he just dunks the ball and then all of a sudden he turns around and throws a bow to James Harden's head that lays him out for 5 minutes. And it was quite a turn of events from, you know, making a nice triumphant play and then knocking somebody to the floor.
Are we seeing the Ron Artest of old?
We are. You know, and I always defended the Palace Brawl incident because I felt like the people that threw the beer on him definitely said the N-word at least more than once. So that'll usually send any honorable black man into a pretty good rage. So I understood that a little bit. I'm pretty sure that's what happened there. But this was pretty inexcusable with the Harden.
Yeah, I just seen a clip not too long ago. I've been pretty busy the last couple of, you know, it happened yesterday, right? It was yesterday's game.
Right, yeah, it was yesterday.
Yeah, I've been pretty busy the last day, but I just seen it before we got on here, and it was a blatant elbow.
Yeah.
I know he thinks, got an ESPN alert on my phone saying that Ron Artest tweeted that, I guess, I over-celebrated way past its means. But that looked like a blatant elbow. It looked like he meant to do that.
I think he definitely did mean to do it. It might have been the kind of thing that didn't require any forethought. He just kind of spur of the moment said, you know, get the hell out of my way. Here's an elbow for you. But to say that wasn't intentional, I think you'd have to... It stretches the imagination because it was so hard. It wasn't like it was just a casual blow to the head as he walked by. I mean, it was a very, very vicious elbow.
Yeah, it did not look pleasant at all. If I got hit with that, I'd probably be concussed too, no doubt.
Well, I mean, my buddy Ken Langston, who writes for me at Matic Sports, joked that they're going to have to strip World Peace off the back of his jersey and replace it with Artest again. I think that pretty much hits the nail right on the head, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I mean, how are you going to say your name's World Peace when you're throwing bows in a basketball game?
Yeah, imagine it doesn't gel.
Imagine if he was a member of the military or something. That would not be pleasant.
No. I don't think Ron Artest would make it in the military.
He can do it with authority.
Could you imagine him being a government issue where he's property of the government and told what to do? Ron Artest? I mean, come on.
Exactly. He might be one of the Secret Service? Have you watched the news yet lately? The Secret Service with the prostitute scandal?
I didn't see that, no.
Yeah, I guess a big group of Secret Service guys got a prostitute, something like that. You have to check the details, Google it, because I don't really know everything.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was on lunch break today at work at the paper, I saw a brief snippet this spring on CNN, and it looks like something Ron Artest could fit the government for.
Maybe there's a niche for everybody then.
Right. And then moving on, though, what is his, has any suspensions or anything been handed out?
What's that? I'm sorry?
Has any, what has been the punishment? Is any suspensions or anything?
It looks like he's out for the rest of the year, including the playoffs. That's what Rick Bucher of ESPN reported. I don't know if it's official yet. I have to go news hunting here in a little bit, but when I saw it, I'm like, well, that's 7 or 8 games at least, and apparently it's going to be the rest of the year for him.
So what does this mean for the Lakers heading into the playoffs, you think?
I'm thinking close to absolutely nothing.
You think they could do just as well without him?
Yeah, I do. They sacrificed a little depth when they got... No, they didn't. When they got rid of Luke Walton. Who am I kidding? Luke Walton was nothing. But, They have Barnes. I mean, Barnes is fine.
I consider Barnes a solid starter.
Yeah, he's better than Artest at this point in their career.
I would agree with that as well.
I don't know. I mean, Barnes is also a good defender, you have to remember. He's capable of covering the best of them. Not like shutting him down or anything. He's not Andre Iguodala, but he's a very good defender.
Yeah, I agree. In all honesty, how do you think the Lakers are going to fare anyway? Right now, they're the 3rd seed, and Denver is the 6th seed. They're only a half game. Denver or Dallas is going to probably play the Lakers, who are only actually a half a game ahead of their so-called little brother, the Clippers.
Right. They'll have a lot of trouble with Denver, I think. Denver's depth and speed is going to give the Lakers a lot of problems. Needless to say, they're going to need Andrew Bynum to absolutely dominate JaVale McGee and make him look like a high schooler to have any kind of chance.
I definitely agree with that. Bynum and Gasol are going to be key. We all know Kobe's the man, but if they don't have their front court step up like their front court has to step up, they're going to be in trouble real quick.
They will be. And, you know, you talk about Kobe being the man. I think Aaron Aflalo would be one of the better guys to shut Kobe down. Not shut down is, again, an overstatement, but holding him under 30 on a regular basis, I could see Aflalo doing that.
Yeah, he's a solid defender. I'm not going to call him elite. I'm not going to call him supreme, but I'm going to call him very solid, and I think he could do a solid job.
Right.
So, what's going on with your buddy Dwight Howard?
Oh, God, now he's demanding a trade again. You gotta be kidding me. I didn't even read the article. I'm so sick of hearing about him. So sick of it. I'm sick of writing about him, and thankfully I don't have to anymore for various reasons. But, you know, he's just flip-flopping one day to the next. He doesn't know what he wants to do, so he should just shut his mouth until he does, but he doesn't seem to think that's the way to go, so he just keeps running his mouth and... He's pissed off all the fans in Orlando. I mean, there's still fans wearing Dwight Howard jerseys to games, but everybody that's not wants him gone.
Yeah, I just think he overstepped his boundaries. There's a difference between being a superstar and being the man of your team and your city and being obnoxious and being, like, you gloating your stardom, your superstardom. And I feel like that's the boundary that Dwight Howard overstepped.
Right.
Now he went from a superstar that people could love, and, you know, he's funny and he's goofy, and, you know, that was cool. Now he took that to another level where it's not.
No, I know. It seems to happen to all of them, all the superstars eventually. It's just you always hope that there's going to be one that'll be different, and I thought Dwight Howard might be that guy, and apparently not. Apparently he's just like the rest of them, as the saying would go, I guess.
I know, and it sucks because I like Howard, too. His game is awesome. He's a good defender. Great defender, good offensive player that still has plenty of room to grow. He's already, I'm going to say he's a top 5 player in the NBA, but then he does things to this to knock him down a few levels.
Right, right. Well, it's been great with handling the media when people ask him stupid questions. He's been great with handling the media when people ask him stupid questions, you know, like, and repetitive questions, but at the same time, he needs to stick with one line, and he hasn't been doing that. Like I said, he's been flip-flopping, and it's annoying everybody at this point. So until he makes up his mind, I really don't want to hear anything else from him, you know?
I understand. I just have one question for you. Have you been one of those media members asking him stupid questions?
I have asked him a couple dumb ones, but not annoying dumb ones. That's the difference. I asked him about the Olympics when that... It was totally out of place and many months ahead of now, but, you know, he's got to get tired of answering the same questions too. So I figured, you know, it's fair game. He said, "Actually, I haven't thought about that at all yet." He was very honest.
Definitely. Well, with the rest of the playoff picture, you know, mellowing down, we got about a week left. Some teams have already hit 64 games, the 66 game season. What do you see happening? I mean, if you look at the East, we got the Bulls are still in front. Miami down by 2 games, still has, you know, enough time to catch up.
Indiana's right there at the top. They're only 4 games behind the Bulls. Or is it 4 games behind Miami and 6 games behind the Bulls? They're up there. They can't catch them because there's not enough games left. But they put together a hell of a season. They've won 63% of their games now.
Yeah, they're actually 7 games behind Chicago, and they're 5 games behind Miami. Right now, they would end up playing
Orlando.
They'd end up playing Orlando Magic,
which I feel is like a first round bye for them. Yeah, Dwight Howard's going to be out the rest of the year.
Without Howard, Indiana could roll past Orlando.
I mean, who's gonna cover Hibbert? I mean, even they don't even have Brandon Bass to do that anymore. Big Baby's going to cover Hibbert? Come on.
Ryan Anderson.
Anderson might be able to. You're right, actually. He's very capable of playing center when it comes right down to it.
Right. I was really just being sarcastic, but
no, he's a solid player. He's still very underrated at this point. Last year when Dwight Howard was sick in Detroit, I think it was the Detroit game. No, that was the game Bass had it. And maybe it was his playoff game. I can't remember. Dwight Howard was out for a game, and Ryan Anderson went for like 30 points and 10 rebounds. Some absurd line. No, it was against your Chicago Bulls. That's what it was. It was last year against your Bulls. Howard was out, and Anderson had a monster game.
I actually remember that. Yeah. And I was going to say that it was the Bulls.
They almost won, too. I think the Bulls won that game by 1 point.
Yeah, he had a great game, though, no doubt.
Yeah. Yeah, they used definitely the steal of that Vince Carter, Courtney Lee, Tony Batiho. He was relevant. Yeah, that trade, I mean, he was the steal of that trade. The Magic had no idea they got such a valuable possession in Ryan Anderson when they made that deal. And they like to pat themselves on the back and say they knew it was going to happen all along, but there's no way in hell they did.
Yeah, I don't think they did either.
Otis Smith would like to champion that as one of his greatest moves, but he's been nothing but a failure since day one. A lot of people think he drafted Dwight Howard when it was actually a hockey mogul, John Weisbrod, that drafted Howard. So Otis can't even claim that.
This is what I don't get about Otis. Like, we see his moves, and they're not. But I'm not going to throw a specific name or a specific company under the bus. But I see, like, Otis is such a good guy. He's such a smart basketball man, da-da-da-da-da. Look what has happened to your Magic. Like, 2009, they're in finals. Where have they been since then?
It's the thing that annoyed me the most about that is when a team makes a run like that, you tinker. You don't dismantle. And he dismantled. He let Turkoglu walk, who was like the key to that team. Brought in Vince Carter on the assumption that Carter still had something left, but everybody pretty much knew he didn't. And, he tried to improve a team that didn't need improving. It just needed tinkering to get over the hill. It wouldn't have even had required any big changes, you know, maybe just add another perimeter scorer to go along with Turkoglu rather than jettisoning Turkoglu and bringing in Carter, which, you know, it didn't accomplish much, and it set the team back, obviously. I realize they won 59 games the next year, just as they did the 2009 finals run, but it's not always about victory totals. It's sometimes about the way the victories are obtained.
Yeah, because when they got to the playoffs, it looked like they just got rolled
over. Vince Carter disappeared in the playoffs completely again. And
Rashard Lewis, he was ghost.
Yeah, and I mean, Vince Carter declined about as quick as any player I've ever seen. Without injuries is what I mean on that one. When players decline due to injuries, it's one thing. And age is of course, the contributing factor, main factor with Carter. But the way he dropped off so quick, I guess you would say it surprised me. And I mean, not really, because, you know, you expect players to drop off, but he did it so quick. You know, if it went from averaging, like, 20 points to 17, and now what's the average, like, 6?
I think it's just his attitude. Like, he doesn't care anymore. That's always been my issue with Carter.
And, you know, the weird thing about it is he still has a lot of athleticism left. You wouldn't think so watching him play, but if you watch before games, he's still screwing around doing 360 dunks and stuff. He can still get off the floor.
The last Dallas game I've seen, he played probably I'm not going to lie, it was probably like a month ago. But anyway, he stole a ball, ran the court, and dunked just like he did in Toronto. I'm like, why don't you do this more? Why do you act like you're a 90-year-old player now?
Right, right. Yeah, he's got to get out of the geriatric ward and start playing like Vince Carter again. But I think we've seen the days when that's over, so he has no longer been sanity.
Yeah. Speaking of Dallas, though, I think I had said earlier in the year that the Dallas Mavericks could win the NBA championship again. At this point, there's no way in this world that they can win. I don't even know if they'll get past the first round. Right now, they're playing Oklahoma City. That will not happen.
They won't get past Oklahoma City. Prior to the year starting, I looked at the Vegas odds as I was talking to you and Susan Sean, and Dallas's odds were three times worse than Miami. I'm like, well, didn't they just beat Miami? You know, what happened to that? But like I said, the Vegas odds makers know a little more than we think sometimes.
Yeah, and I mean, once they traded for Odom, I thought, you know what, this could be a really, really good squad with him on it. And then he obviously didn't work out. What do you think are the overall effects of Odom not working out with Dallas?
Yeah, I'm not even sure because we never got to see him work out to begin with. We never knew. We never got an idea of what they could have been with a productive and healthy Lamar Odom. And Dirk Nowitzki was asked what he thought about it. He said, I have nothing to say about him. So his disgust was clear by his lack of commentary, not due to his commentary. Clearly, Nowitzki thought he was getting a guy that could come and pitch in, and he got nothing. I mean, Odom, he didn't even try. There was no effort put forth on his part.
What, in regards to Odom, what do you think of him? Do you think he was being childish about the whole situation with him being traded?
That's all it was. That's all it was him being childish. You're right.
I really think that. You're a professional ball player. Your contract got traded. It's a business. We all love the sport. You know, it is a sport. It's supposed to be fun. But behind it, it is a business. And you have to play where you go. You can't decide who you're getting traded to and stuff like that, like your buddy Dwight Howard likes to think.
Right. Right. Well, sometimes the premium players can command that kind of respect, but Lamar Odom is not a premium player. He could have been. At one point, I thought he might be. When he was with the Clippers, he had all the tools to become a premium player. But and he developed into a very solid player. Don't get me wrong. It's just that his talent level in terms of his skills never really matched his athleticism and his potential.
Yeah, when he was with the Clippers, I loved that team. They didn't win a lot of games, but him, Quentin Richardson, Darius Miles, Corey Maggette, that was an awesome team to watch, even though they didn't win a lot of games.
Right, it was a good team to watch. I mean, kind of like the Minnesota Timberwolves of right now. But, I mean, the thing is, Odom was only a couple pieces away from being that kind of player, being that phenomenal player. If he shot the ball 5 or 6 percentage points higher from the three-point line, put him up in the 38-39% range, he'd be unstoppable.
Oh, I agree. He's one of the most versatile players I've ever seen. He can do everything.
Yeah.
Especially for his height and his size. And
long arms.
He's got length out of this world. Yeah, he just never, I don't know if you can say he never got the push. I don't know what you can say about him, but he never went to that next level that I personally thought he could go to.
I mean, really, when I look at him, at least especially in his prime, I think he could have been the type of player to average 20 points, 10 rebounds, and 5 assists. Very Weber-esque numbers, but that never happened. And, you know, it's obviously not going to happen now, but, you know, when Odom's career is done, we're going to look back and we're going to think, this guy could have really been something.
Yeah, unfortunately, he is going to be one of those players. Like, what would have happened if he would have been in the right situation to be that guy? Because obviously he wasn't in the right situation with the Lakers. And the Clippers, even though they were fun to watch, weren't a complete team. I mean, he could have been that guy, but he wasn't. Then he went to Miami, and of course, Dwayne Wade, he was the guy. So I don't think he ever had that chance to be the player he could have been.
No. He had a good year in Miami, and then the Heat got a hell of a trade, of course, shipping him off and bringing Shaq back. I guess they had to get rid of, was it Eddie Jones, or who was it? Wasn't Eddie Jones, he was retired then. Who was the guy they sent with Odom? Was Eddie Jones, wasn't it?
I think it was Jones, actually. It was Jones.
Yeah, it would have been right towards the very end of his career.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have a lot left. I'm pretty sure it was Eddie Jones, now that I think about it. I think he had just had a couple years left at that point. And it would have been his second tenure with the Lakers, of course, because he played, I think, his rookie year and four or five seasons after that with the Lakers. He was a heck of a player, too. Seems a lot of those defensive guards kind of get overlooked in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, he was another player that I thought could have been a monster superstar. He got to the star level. I think he was an all-star.
Yeah, he was.
He didn't get that push either.
No. I guess it's going to wrap it up here for us at Encore Onslaught. We came with you 20 minutes of power-packed action. And we'll come back at you next week or later on this week or, you know, we'll come back at you.
But one more thing before we go. How do we get a hold of you, Brett? How do we talk to you?
You can either email me at brett_d_roberts@yahoo.com or you can hit me up at Twitter by the same handle and become one of my 200 followers.
Awesome. You can get at me on Twitter at LaChance_writer or Facebook, of course, Brandon LaChance. And my email is BrandonLaChance@thesportinggravenetwork.com. So, this is another show well done, Brett.
As always, we'll talk to you guys later.
Peace.